You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Discovery reported interim results for the 6 months ended December 31, 2023 this morning, and our editor at MoneyWeb, Rake Faniket, caught up with Adrian Gore to just get a sense of how the company performed. Let's listen in on that chat.
Discovery is one of the leading financial services groups in the country, and it reported financial results for the 6 months to the end of December today. Normalized headline earnings rose by 11% to 3.3 billion rand, and the board declared a dividend of 65 cents a share. Adrian Gore is the founder and chief executive of Discovery. He's on the line. Adrian, thank you so much for your time. I want to talk about Discovery Bank. You know, you've launched it in November 2018. That was around 5 years ago. And it was a massive investment for Discovery, probably is still. But in the announcement, you state that it has achieved monthly operational break-even. What does that mean?
Well, it means that its revenue now covers its operating costs, which is a very, very important milestone. The bank, you know, started in 2018, but it only got going in 2021 properly. The actual rollout has been nothing but just absolutely brilliant, I believe. The performance in the last 6 months has been staggering. 1,000 clients a day joining. The usage of the bank, the quality of the revenue, the quality of the services, it's absolutely been remarkable. So I think the 6 months for the bank has been really, really formative, and we're very, very pleased with it.
Let's talk about the 1,000 clients a day. You know, if you look at other banks like Capitec and Time Bank, they always boast with the hundreds and thousands of customers they get every month. But I think the key point is the quality of those customers, the affluency of those customers, because they are really profitable. How high of a quality are those new clients you get?
The clients are exceptional. Look, I can't comment on other banks, but I will tell you, getting 1,000 clients a day of quality, taking two bank accounts each, using the bank, the quality, the scale of that is tremendous. And that's why the bank very, very quickly has grown its revenue and has grown its potential profitability. So that kind of growth, you know, if I've seen in our evolution, if you're getting 300 to 500 new clients a day, that's really flying. To get to 1,000 a day is significant. So it's a big multi-banking clients with thousands of accounts. But in truth, I think getting proper quality clients is the key to building a strong bank.
I've recently seen a presentation of Discovery's operations. And of course, there are many different divisions. You've got Discovery Health, Discovery Insure, which offers life and short-term insurance. You've got Discovery Invest, and of course, the bank. But it seems to form quite an ecosystem. So if you use one product, you get more benefit if you use others. That is an interesting model. Can you see that the uptake of different products within the total Discovery offering is increasing due to this ecosystem?
There's no doubt. I mean, the entire model is built on the Vitality shared value approach. Each of the businesses has exactly the same architecture. Manage your money well, manage your health well, drive well, you earn Vitality points and the status, and that gives you value. So we're sharing that kind of actuarial value created. And the more of it you do, you bring it together. The bank itself is kind of, we call it the composite make. It brings the products onto the face of the bank. It brings the currency into Discovery Miles. So the entire ecosystem is built on giving additional value to people. And I think the key thing here is not from our perspective. We're not trying to cross-sell. We're trying to create a set of products and services that work together for the benefit of the clients. It's a client-centric composite, and it's working well. I mean, beside figures and numbers and earnings, the fact is our clients are getting healthier, driving better, they're getting better value for money, and that's the approach you've taken.
Your normalized headline earnings grew by 11%. I think the official headline earnings was relatively flat, but there were a few accounting funnies in there. But a growth of 11%, how do you feel about it, especially in the South African market, which seems to be really, really cautious and uncertain at the moment?
I'm very pleased with it. I think it's robust. The operating profit grew by 13%. I mean, in truth, we had some really good growth globally. Our share of Ping An Health in China, which is a health insurer in China, grew tremendously. The scale of that business is quite remarkable. I mean, it covers 26 million people, 50 billion rands of premium. It's of considerable scale. Our bank grew, and then Vitality Network, working with other partners around the world using the Vitality model, grew tremendously. So it's actually been a very, very good period for us. I think, you know, kind of looking at the average increase is important, but for us, from an operating perspective, there's just a number of key growth platforms that have started to form, and I think that bodes well for future growth.
Now, you do business in 41 countries. When I saw that number today, I was actually quite surprised. How significant is the South African operation still within the group?
No, it's very significant. It's 70 to 75% of our earnings. I mean, bear in mind, as you were saying earlier, we've got massive insurance and banking capabilities here. Our businesses in other markets, except the UK, we're a life and health insurer, are working with partners, great partners like AIA across Asia Pacific, John Hancock, without using the Vitality model. So the strategy is to grow that by actually deepening those partnerships, extending the partnerships. And I think we've reworked, and if you saw the presentation, fantastic work done on the Vitality model around hyper-personalizing it so that it has real effect on mortality and sickness. That gives us great potential to grow in other markets. So there's a lot going on in the group. And it's interesting. I mean, for us, it's hard to outgrow the South African businesses because they continue to grow. At the moment, a good problem to have, but we'll see how it plays out going forward.
Ping An, the Chinese health insurer, which you referred to earlier, it more than doubled its profits, close to 350 million rand. And it's been dubbed the potential 10 cent of the insurance industry in China. Is that still on track? How does the growth there compare with what you maybe thought 5 years ago?
The growth is better. I mean, the truth is the performance is better than we could have ever expected. I don't think the analog to 10 cent is accurate. You know, I think those days are different and gone. But I do think, in reality, the business is of considerable scale and quality. Every aspect of its performance, its persistency levels, in other words, people not leaving, rates of new business, the quality of the claims experience, it's contracted to 1,000 hospitals across China, has been absolutely tremendous. So we believe strongly that will continue to grow, given how big the kind of Chinese population is, the early stage of health insurance. It's an amazing business.
Then just lastly, South Africa is an uncertain place at the moment. It's difficult to run a business here. We're going into an election and we'll probably see coalition governments at all spheres of our political structures. And again, that may contribute to policy uncertainty. And I'm talking here about NHI, for example, and maybe other aspects as well. How do you approach doing business in this environment going forward? Do you take a cautious approach or do you still keep the gas right down to the metal?
Listen, I think every market we're in has complexity and ambiguity. And I think the ability to manage ambiguity is the hallmark of a great business. I think you've got to be constructive, you've got to be innovative, but you have to be prudent at the same time. I don't think any one of those qualities is appropriate. I also think a corporation has to take a long-term view. I don't think you should be sidelined by one. The election is important. It could be seminal. But I think you have to look past that and just keep investing and focusing on success. Our fundamental issue is that we believe the private sector is a critical part of the future of South Africa. So preparing to help assist, build. We've been involved in this business initiative with government. It's getting traction on energy, on transport and logistics, on crime and corruption. We need to do more of that, you know, before, at and through the election. So we are long-term players. We're patriotic. We've got to build. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be critical and realistic about the challenges. But I don't think being extremely cautious or being extremely gutsy is the right attitude. I think managing a complex, ambiguous environment is part of running a great business.
Adrian, thanks so much for your time. That was Adrian Gore, the Chief Executive of Discovery.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.